Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, I guess on this episode of the Paracast, we probably will not discuss the bloody Roswell slides, or maybe a little bit. But the one thing I do want to mention is that it seems like one of the first times in UFO history, at least in recent years, where people of different persuasions got together to explore that thing, being the Roswell Slides Research Group, where you had out-and-out skeptics, debunkers like Lance Moody, and people who were in middle of the road and people who you consider believers, all getting together, all pitting their resources and coming out with a useful result. And is this possibly, Chris O'Brien, a way to make some progress in this toxic field?
I suppose. I mean, stranger things have happened. Sometimes these controversies do create strange bedfellows, as they would say. But I think it'll be back to business as usual, and we'll see the usual sniping and conflicts between opposing camps here. But I guess it's a good thing when people come together to, you know, at least drill down on the truth and try to get the real story, as in the case of this latest fiasco. I'm just so tired of hearing about it. The revelation by, I think, some journalist in Mexico that they had over 2.5 million people sign up for the streaming. I have a hard time believing that figure. But if it's true, and if they did have between 6,500 and 7,000 people at the live event, you're talking in the neighborhood of $40, $50 million. And if that's the case, criminal charges should be filed. Let's put it that way. I mean, I don't know if there's any way to really ascertain or to have them reveal the number of live streaming clients. But it just boggles my mind that they could, you know, be so cavalier and get away with it. We haven't heard a word from this Adam Dew character, which I think we need to get some sort of statement from him. Tom Carey is still sticking to his guns, but I think, by and large, this was a big learning lesson, I think, for everyone, that you can't accept anything at face value.
The one thing about Carey is he did issue an apology, but then there was a report that he only did that apology, what, on advice of his lawyer or something?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Well, I know the apology was run in our forums and it was published. It seemed to be the kind of apology you'd expect, that he understands this was the mummified remains of a 2-year-old boy. We understand that. Now, I just was running my calculator on my iPhone as I was talking to you, and the pay-per-view, the streaming, it was either $15 if you got it early or $20 if you ordered it, I guess, on the day of. I forget the conditions. But let's just say the average price was $15. If 1 million people watched it, that's $15 million. Okay?
Right.
1 million. Now, you add that to the gate receipts, 6,500, 7,000 people paying from $20 to $85 as translated in Mexican pesos. And as you say, it is a multi-million dollar affair. Now, I asked the lawyer about this, whether there's some criminal possibilities here, whether you could sue. And he said, the issue here, the main issue here is, did the people who participated, and not just Jaime Maussan, Adam Dew, Tom Carey, Don Schmidt, were they aware that this was a hoax or was fake, that it wasn't what they thought it was going in? You can't prove fraud based on being mistaken, I don't think. But if they knew it was a fraud going into it, then maybe there's something there. But doing it in Mexico, creates other complications. Number one, if you want to sue them, you have to go to Mexico. You can't sue them, you know, in Washington, D.C. Maybe that's one thing there. By putting it in Mexico, it made it difficult or impossible for people in the U.S. and other parts of the world to go after them if the thing came falling apart. But the other question I have is, what were they thinking? And the reason I ask this is they had to know, or at least one or two of the people involved had to know, that once high-resolution slides got out, it would be a matter of hours or days before it was exposed. How could they not know that?
Well, I don't know. It just really is another nail in the coffin as far as I'm concerned. You know, some people have been saying that this may even taint the Roswell case to the point where it's all the major work that's gone down the last 30 years is going to go down the drain. I don't think that's the case. I think Roswell will always be Roswell. Some people have said that between the alien autopsy fiasco in the mid-90s and this particular saga, that between the two hoaxes, if you want to go that route, that they may have tainted the case forever. I don't really think so. I think it's tainted the field of ufology, and there's got to be some sort of litmus test for these types of events and claims. There's got to be a way that we can nip these types of scenarios at the bud before they even begin. I'm scratching my head trying to figure out a way to do that, but it just makes me more and more reluctant to be associated with the field of ufology. And I'm just so down on so much that goes on in this field, and we sound like broken records, I know, about this, but it's just really sad that a lot of people who are hardworking, honest, are really attempting to do the work in a proper fashion, are being overshadowed by P.T. Barnum scenarios like this, and it's like a salmon struggling upstream. It's very difficult to make any headway with the scientific community, with the fence sitters and the naysayers and the people that they just ignore the whole field because of toxic events like this. There's just no way that we're going to gain any kind of respectability and any kind of quality attention, I think, from academia and the scientific community if things like this continue. It does so much more harm than good. It does, maybe certain people's pockets, it does them good, but everybody else is just kind of left, twisting in the wind. And that's really sad. It makes me more and more reluctant and reticent to get involved in this field publicly, more so than I am. I chastise people when they say, you call me a ufologist or introduce me as a ufologist. It's just an embarrassing term to me now.
I'm hoping here that maybe the people who work with the Roswell Slides Research Group will follow my suggestion and create a UFO truth squad and go out there and, when necessary, disassemble the fakes or at least check things out that are questionable or things out that might have potential and do a little research so we don't end up with something like this. Take it seriously. And the other thing is, this thing should have been open sourced from the day one. As soon as we had the NDAs and all that, we knew something had to be wrong. What isn't wrong is that we have a second radio show we do called After the Paracast, available exclusively to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. Real simple to get it. You subscribe at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Simple sign up, not expensive, $5 a month. They're annual and 5-year programs. We send you a copy of Chris O'Brien's Stalking the Tricksters ebook version if you subscribe for a year or more. Coming up on this week's episode of the Paracast, we have the one, the only Mr. UFO, Tim Beckley. And I've known Tim probably longer than I've known almost everyone or anyone other than the late Jim Moseley. So there we go. Tim Beckley coming next. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 6-2-2-3-7, extension 129.
Hi, Coast to Coast listeners. I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of George Norrie because his topics and guests are fascinating and really get you thinking. George is just as bothered as I am by all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX, which together are called the Healthy Start Pack. I recommend you go online to criticalhealthnews.com to purchase these products. That's criticalhealthnews.com or call 855-949-RADIO.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You know, I can't tell you how many years I've known Tim Beckley. We got together when we were teenagers as friends, not friends. We had a lot of fun. I've known him now probably for 52 years.
Wow.
That's almost as long as Chris O'Brien has been alive.
Yeah, it makes me feel like a whippersnapper.
Well, we're going to snap that whip, Chris, so you watch out. How did we meet, Tim?
Jesus, you expect me to remember that, Gene? Well, probably at one of Jim Moseley's UFO meetings, I would imagine. You know, he had them every a couple of weeks at one of those seedy Times Square hotels where you could rent a banquet room in those days for $25. And I'm sure I saw Gray Barker, Ivan T. Sanderson. You know, admission in those days, I think, was 50 cents. But if you knew Jim, I mean, you could even get by then, you know, and without paying the 75 cents. We probably met then. And then, of course, we exchanged newsletters. We exchanged zines. You had, was it UFO Report or something?
UFO Reporter, right. This was before I sold off my few subscribers to Jim Moseley at Saucer News.
I did the same thing. I had the Interplanetary News Service Report, and I had 1,500 subscribers. I had as many subscribers as APRO had members, actually. You know, in those days, of course, there was no quick copy places. You had to pretty much print and collate and staple yourself. I had a Gestetner mimeograph machine. Everybody else had a Sears and Roebuck machine that went for $100 or so. Mine was a little bit more expensive. And in fact, Jerry Clark cut the stencils for the first couple of issues of the newsletter, although I don't guess he would probably want to admit that today. But be that as it may, we exchanged magazines for quite a while. I think we put out about maybe 15 issues before Jim took it over, and maybe you put out that many or even more. Yours, I think, was a little bit more polished than mine. Wasn't yours offset?
Well, I met somebody at a science fiction convention. I forget his name, except he later became famous for sponsoring Star Trek conventions.
Uh-huh.
At that time, he was a printer, and he did me a favor, as a result of which I got the printing done for far lower than I'd pay otherwise. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. And
absolutely.
I did have the mimeograph machine. I do not remember what brand it was.
Yes,
it was something sold in a mail order catalog.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I don't remember what it was, what happened to it, or anything else, but cutting stencils was absolutely, totally a chore. And the reason it was a chore is because you had to, I guess there were ways to correct mistakes on it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But you had to basically type on this crazy sheet, and that sheet was used for mimeographing.
Right. And
you couldn't have fancy graphics or anything.
Well, you know, they did get to the point, actually, where they had electronic stencils, where for $7 you could get at least the newspaper clipping, you know, reproduced fairly well. And, of course, it was messy. My mother threw me out of the house. If it were a crime scene, my fingerprints would have been all over the wall. You know, it was very messy. So I was vanquished to the back porch where, of course, in the wintertime it was freezing because there was no heat. But we managed to get the word out just as we continue to do today.
That was very interesting, though, the things we had to do to be a publisher. Now, in Jim's case, he did what I later did, which he took a typewriter. He bought this electric typewriter for Saucer News. And he typed everything twice because he had to have justified columns that line up on both sides.
Right.
And you think that's nothing in traditional printing or desktop publishing. But remember, this is before we had word processing. And even then, Jim, for the rest of his life, always bought the same kinds of typewriters. Smith Corona. He never even bought an IBM Selectric, and he never bought a personal computer.
That is true, and I don't believe he had an answering machine.
That's correct.
And nor a tape recorder.
There is an interesting story about that. Okay? Now, we all remember one of the pioneer early UFO groups. It was NICAP, National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. This is the one that was headed by Major Kehoe. Now, his office manager in the 60s was Richard Hall, who became fairly prominent in the UFO field. But he was kind of a prickly sort. And so on this one occasion, Jim Moseley calls him up, trying to be nice. And Hall says to Jim, "Are you taping this?" And Jim says, "I don't even own a tape recorder. No, I'm not." And then the words became more incensed, and some of those words became ones that we cannot use on family radio, prohibited by our network. And therefore, soon they hung up the phone on each other. They couldn't stand each other. And that formed this, what do we call it? This dispute between them, this feud. And that feud became so bad that one time I went to NICAP headquarters after having a very pleasant conversation with Donald Kehoe at his home in Luray, Virginia. I went to Washington, D.C., to the headquarters of NICAP with people you've heard on the show, Alan Greenfield, Rick Hilberg, some others. And as soon as he saw me, knowing I was working with Jim Moseley, he said, "Richard Hall, you're not welcome here." And then we had this movement. You might remember this.
Yes, yes.
Hall must fall. Remember that? Where, I don't know who invented that term, whether it was Jim or it was me. Hall must fall. He needs to be drummed out of NICAP because he's hurting the organization's credibility.
Well, the organization had somewhat of a credibility problem to begin with. In fact, if you go back and you check the board of directors, you will find that a lot of the people there had backgrounds, military backgrounds, and especially CIA backgrounds. Now, there are some people who would claim that the organization was actually being managed by the agency. And I think there is something to that. Now, my beliefs have changed somewhat over the years, you know, because back when we were kids, pretty much what was your possible origins for UFOs? I mean, the solutions for this. Of course, the interplanetary disc idea was the most frequently touted as being the origin, the true origin of UFOs. They had to be coming here from some other planet or some other the solar system or some other star system, right?
It's interesting how things have turned around. People start in the UFO field these days, or whatever we call the interest in UFOs, and they go back to spaceships, whereas we young whippersnappers, and we were really young in those years, went the other way. Went into 4D explanations and more complicated things like ultra-terrestrials. I mean, it was really different. Well, we kept looking for other solutions, but let's get back to NICAP and the military connection. Of course, the key was the fact that the Board of Governors of NICAP had Rear Admiral Roscoe Henry Hillencutter, who was the first head of the CIA. And that caused a few alarms to go off. More to come. Tim Beckley joining Gene and Chris in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a Wall call between you and the IRS, 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Walland Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Walland Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall and Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
Are you suffering from EP? The symptoms include fraudulent charges to your credit card. Your Subway card says it's empty, but you bought it yesterday. Someone's been in your hotel room, but the desk clerk says they only show you entering the room. These are signs of EP, electronic pickpocketing. Payment cards, transit cards, even hotel room keys use a radio chip, so you can just wave your card at the register, the turnstile, or your hotel room door. But what's convenient for you is also convenient for thieves, waving scanners to electronically pickpocket you without even touching you. The good news is there's a cure. ID Stronghold has created leather wallets and clutches that have built-in EP protection. Layers of shielding material cleverly concealed in a beautiful leather wallet that stops the symptoms of EP. Go to IDStronghold.com now and get the cure. IDStronghold.com. Warning, ID Stronghold wallets could lead to feelings of safety and security, comfort in crowds, and euphoria. If you experience these emotions, immediately inform your friends and family about IDStronghold.com so they can feel better too.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
When Tim and I get together, folks, we start talking about the past, and we'll get to the future and what's going on, but we're talking about one of the major UFO organizations of the 50s and 60s. They lobbied heavily for congressional hearings on UFOs. National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, Major Kehoe Director Richard Hall, the office manager. And I guess in a sense, Kehoe believed, and maybe he was tone deaf, that if he had people in the military and some scientists on the board of directors, they'd be giving the organization more credibility. One of those was Hillenkoetter, the first head of the CIA. Now, it happens that Hillenkoetter and Kehoe were old friends. They went to Annapolis together, okay? So there were two old soldiers who were close friends. So, yeah, why don't you join the organization? Now, Hillenkoetter left after a while. And maybe he felt, you know, he was mixed up in something he shouldn't have been mixed up in. That caused, I guess, some consternation on that part. On the other hand, if you want to believe that NICAP was really some kind of military front, and I suppose you could believe that, and there was reason to think it was possible, wouldn't that be just too obvious?
Well, you would think that, but who knows? You know, disinformation rears its heads in many different ways, I suppose. But, you know, my thinking on this has always been the government, of course, would rather have you not believe in UFOs. But if you're going to accept any, you know, any belief system, then you should accept the idea that they're from outer space and not from somewhere much closer to home. And that's why I think, you know, this Roswell crash thing has been pushed on us for so many years, because it's somebody trying to prove a particular point of view. And you can't do that in the UFO, you know, field. You can't decide, well, this is what I want UFOs to be, so they're going to be this. you've got to let it lead the way, not you lead the way. And that, I think, is one of the big downfalls of the field, if you can really call it that, is because everybody is off in their own direction trying to prove their own pet theory. People always ask me, well, what is my opinion about UFOs? And I always say, well, it doesn't matter what my opinion is, Gene. UFOs act independently of my thinking or anybody else's thinking. And that's the root of all the evil here, is that people are trying to prove their pet theory, and you can't do that, you know, because then you could probably logically go out and prove any theory that you possibly want, because there's probably a little bit of fact that would prove almost anything. End of point. That is what I've learned after 50 plus years of being involved in this field, is that you've got to remain open to all ideas. And a lot of people get into this thinking that they are going to find a solution to the UFO mystery. And there isn't a solution. If there is a solution, it's certainly not one singular simple solution. It's many solutions. It's a mystery. And I think it's been a mystery for thousands of years. And I think it will be a mystery long after you and I have gone on into the heavenly realms.
So I take it by what you say is that the UFOs are not necessarily visitors from other planets. Or maybe that's one of many solutions.
Yeah, if there have been visitors here from other planets, they've perhaps come and gone. You know, they wouldn't be showing up every day over, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, or over Bridgeport, Connecticut, or these small little towns in desolate, out-of-the-way places, and contacting people who are probably on the fringe to begin with, not to say that some of these experiences maybe are not real, but there is no pattern. You know, we're looking, Jacques Vallée and these people are looking for a pattern, but there is no real pattern. I mean, you can throw almost every pattern out the window, because as soon as you think you have a pattern, something else comes along. Remember back, was it in the 1950s, Gene? And Chris, you're there, right?
I am here.
Well, this might be before you were involved in any of this, Chris, but do you remember the straight line theory? What was that called? Do you remember?
Amy Michelle.
Amy Michelle, yeah.
UFOs and the straight line mystery.
Yes, but they had a they actually even had a name for what it was called. And I can't remember what it was offhand, but that was big for a long, long time. And somehow the straight line mystery proved that they were from Mars, I think. And I don't even know how he came up with that idea. And you never even hear anybody talk about that anymore. Well, we hear about the ley lines, which are straight lines.
Well,
but
no,
I don't think that had anything. I don't think that had anything to do.
Come up with the theory that sightings seem to be centered around the 37th latitude line, which I think is a little bit of a leap. But,
but UFO sightings happen at every at longitude and latitude.
They've
been seen in that. Yeah, I mean, no. Because, you know, just when you can pinpoint and say here are where UFO sightings are the most prevalent, they will disappear there and show up, 2,000 miles away. And, of course, in those days, outside of APRO, those days, I mean, we're talking about the 50s and 60s, in those days, nobody even considered that this was a global mystery. UFOs were supposed to be just, something that happened here, were observed here in the United States, because obviously we had a lot of degenerates and crackpots running around or something. I don't know. People with mental illnesses or alcoholics or whatever the skeptics would throw at you as being an explanation for what people were
saying. Lots of trailer parks.
Trailer parks. Well, I don't even know. I don't know if that's true. Drive-in theaters were big for a while. In fact, members of my family had a sighting over the drive-in theater because I guess, again, people are outside and they're looking at the night sky and running to get hot dogs and popcorns and watching some zombie movie. So that's a very good place to see a UFO. And there were a lot of sightings around around drive-ins and also in regular parks, national parks and places like that, because people are outdoors. If you're sticking your head inside, you're not very likely to see anything unless it lands on your, back deck or something.
So therefore, just any place where people were outside and maybe had the chance to look up. This, of course, is a time when people were not looking down at their smartphones or their tablets.
Or their 40-inch TV sets or their Skype. Or reading our books, for example. I don't know. Yeah, I guess. But you know, people still have sightings. There are a lot of sightings today are made by truckers because they're out on the road, and out by campers. There have been any number of supposed abductions that have taken place while people were out, camped out weird things happened to him.
Let's go to abductions here. I assume the first abduction you heard about was Barney and Betty Hill, right, Tim?
I would guess that was certainly the most popular one. You know, in our magazine, the Interplanetary News Service Report, we publish a lot of fringe stuff that nobody else would actually handle. I mean, I was never particularly interested in lights in the sky, except for the things that I saw myself. You know, I always figured that this was a pretty much ground level phenomena, and if you were ever going to come up with a an explanation for it, you had to look below treetop level and not up in the sky. I mean, even today, people are wowed and awed by all these postings on YouTube. And, we have some very good – I have my own YouTube channel. It's Mr. UFO Secret Files. And we've got some pretty good interviews. I mean, I would go around the country and take my video camera with me. In fact, I did a tape of Chris on his front porch. Unfortunately, the tape got all raveled, and I was never able to use it. But I had, Ted Phillips and Tom Dongo and some very interesting, on the road type of interviews that I did. And I was putting them on disc and setting them out free with our books and all. I decided, well, I'll start a YouTube, a channel and get it up there. It's all below treetop level. I mean, things that happen in the sky are just never really have been an interest to me. And if you look at all these videos that are posted, most of them shot with a smartphone or something, so they're not going to be very good anyway. They don't prove anything. They prove that there are lights in the sky, and for thousands of years we've seen lights in the sky. And you can't – it's like the Roswell alien mummy slides. You can't prove that they're anything because they're slides. And if there are lights in the sky, again, that's what you come up with is lights in the sky.
We'll get into more lights in the sky and things that aren't so light. We got a lot more to come with our old friend Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO. Maybe that's presumptuous, but that's what some people call him. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a Wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Thank you. It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a four-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit two per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your four-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Tim Beckley of Global Communications Interplanetary News Service and all these other names that he's used over the years. He's also published about 200 books. And the reason I mention that is because when we were posting some information about the interview on our forums at forum.theparacast.com, I mentioned some of the authors, and a few of them are friends of the show, people you've heard on the show before. Certainly you've heard people like Nick Redfern, for example. He's been on the show frequently, and he's even in the past served as a guest co-host. And we've also mentioned people like Sean Castile and Tim Swartz and Brad Steiger and all that.
Wow.
But in the early days, you published some books from some people that we would call wackos, or to use the term that the late Long John Neble used on his radio show in the early days of talk radio, he called the crazy people wackading-hoy.
Oh, he did indeed. Yes, well, you know, Gene, I'm not sure exactly what authors you're referring to, perhaps somebody like Tilamsing Rampa, who remains immensely popular. In fact, if I could find UFO authors that were popular even today as much as Tilamsing Rampa would be, the UFO books would sell much, much better than they do.
Let's just interrupt here. Now, yes. This fellow is somebody who is no longer alive, obviously.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who was he? Why would he be so popular?
Okay, well, the story goes is that he was actually a British plumber. He fell
a
off
British
a ladder.
A British plumber.
Plumber, that's correct. He fell off a ladder or a stool one day, and when he regained consciousness, his body or his spirit had been taken over by a Tibetan Lama by the name of Tilamsing Rampa. Now, this may sound odd or bizarre or very peculiar.
You think?
Especially, okay. Well, yes and no. It probably was back in the 1950s when he put out his first book called The Third Eye. But today, they're known as walk-ins. These are people who claim that they are actually here from some other place, some other star system, some other world, some other dimension, out to do a job or a chore to raise the consciousness of the planet. Now, a lot of these people, and we can get into this in a while too, are musicians and actors and rock stars and celebrities. Jimi Hendrix being one, Mark Boland being another a person along this line. I just did a book called Shirley MacLaine Meets the Palladians, The Amazing Flying Saucer Experiences of Celebrities, Rock Stars, and the Rich and Famous. And this is a very prevalent theme, that these people are here doing some chore to raise the spiritual vibrations of the planet, either through music or entertainment or their writing. And so you can't, you know, if you believe in that concept at all, or the concept of reincarnation, it's really not that hard to follow this particular theme. And in addition, T. Lomsing Romper, regardless of whoever he was a terrific writer. And that's something that's lacking, actually, Gene. You have to admit that in the UFO field, outside of John Keel and maybe Jerry Clark and Nick Redford. The field is lacking, really. Ivan T. Sanderson was a good writer. Of course, Gray Barker was immensely popular. Most of the writers are very dull as dishwater in this field. And the public is not going to pick up a book and pay, you know, $24.95 and put it back down because they find it very dull or statistical.
In addition to having solid information, if you can't entertain people with a well-written book, then you don't get your message across. But that kind of mixes scientific information, we hope it's scientific, with entertainment.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I don't claim to be a scientist. My background is that of pretty much of journalism. I was a stringer for The Enquirer. I published and packaged numerous newsstand magazines, probably 30 different titles, everything from UFO Universe, which lasted for 11 years, and you did the typesetting on that, Gene, for most of that period. But
right.
I also
and as a matter of fact, I did some editing on it. I cleaned up your editing.
It was
a combination of both.
Well,
yeah.
Some of the writers certainly needed that, and some of them didn't. I mean, we had I look at my experiences in this field and my lifetime of doing this in two ways. First of all, independently, I have my own beliefs, which I have a right to, and people don't understand. Well, some people say, well, how can you publish a book if this conflicts with your thinking? Well, I'm also think of myself as a successful publisher, see? So some books I publish to entertain myself. I have books out there that I know when I publish are not going to sell a hoot. Those, believe it or not, Gene, are the most serious books. The most serious, what we would call the most serious books in the field, are the ones that are likely to sell the least amount of copies. The ones that tend to be a little bit more sensationalistic are the ones that people want to read about. And still what is very big are what we would call spellcasting books that have nothing to do with UFOs whatsoever. Every once in a while, a UFO book will come along that people seem interested in, like this one that we did recently called UFO Repeaters, The Camera Doesn't Lie, which is about people who seemingly have the ability to go out with their camera and take photographs of the sky and get unusual images on it. Some of it is psychic, like the late Stella Lansing. Betty Hill even had the ability, apparently. She would go out at night and sit on a particular stretch of road where she thought that they might be coming back and revisiting. And she got some unusual phenomena on her camera. Well, now, I don't know whether it's a physical ship that she photographed from outer space or whether this was something that she psychically imprinted there, but there are some people who have this uncanny ability to take photographs, and when the film is developed, there's something that you can't explain. And some of them do it over and over and over, and obviously some of them probably are hoaxes, and a lot of them are not. So I publish books because it entertains people. I publish books because it educates people. And so I refuse just to publish the things that I'm interested in, which is no different than any other real publisher, Gene. Suppose I was you and I were publishing books for Doubleday. Would we not take books that we thought would be profitable and stuff that perhaps would be against our political or personal or social agenda? Yes, we would, because it's publishing. And this country, one thing that almost everybody in this country can agree on is freedom of speech. We may be on the left, we may be on the right, we may be on the center, but boy, when you take our freedom of speech away, everybody seems to wear the same hat.
So the key here is, if you feel a book is not overtly lying or making fraudulent claims and has sales potential, you'll publish it.
Yeah, well, that probably would have been 10 years ago, Gene, because the book publishing business isn't what it used to be. Today we put out, most of our books are done in-house by, a number of writers that we've used over the years, like Scott Corrales, Tim Schwartz, Sean Castile, William Kern. You know, it's people that we can rely on. I look at a book now as like putting out a magazine, because most books are self-published now, to be honest with you, because big publishers won't touch them. It's not the market anymore. You know, if you can put out a book and sell a couple of hundred copies, you're doing very good. Most publishers, even legitimate publishers, are now asking authors to pay to get their books published. And I was surprised at the number of publishing companies that was doing that.
Well, of course, you do have self-publishing capabilities at Create Space, which is from Amazon.
Yes.
And the way they do it is what they call print-on-demand. Let me explain this. Mm-hmm. They call it print-on-demand. What that means is you put the book up on Amazon. Every time someone places an order, they custom print it and mail it to your customer. You don't have to keep an inventory. You can. I mean, you could buy at a discount a number of copies of your book. But lots of people do that. Real publishers, not just individuals wanting to become publishers. Real publishers do this because they don't have to pay for the inventory. They don't have to put a lot of money up front. And as you mentioned, in the old days, book authors would get an advance against royalties. So the publisher's sales department would say, you know what? This book is going to earn that author $5,000. So we'll give them $4,000 and hedge our bets, or something like that. And speaking of special offerings, we've got one. It's called After the Paracast. That's our premium podcast available only, I repeat, only to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. Last week, for example, we had Curtis Collins telling us about the Slide Gate, as we call it, and the Roswell Slides Research Group. And you can find out more from plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. $5 a month, $50 a year, $175 for 5 years, a modest subscription. You get the ad-free version of this show after the Paracast, all in one package. It's like paying less than 60 cents per show. That's pretty cheap, isn't it? Plus.theparacast.com. Today we're talking to one of my old friends. As you can tell, we have lots of history together and lots of things to talk about. And a few questions from our listeners as well. He's Tim Beckley. We've got more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
A little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley. With U.S. Tax Shield, we can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.